Hello, everybody, and welcome to our ERC Elite call for November 2020. And this is a training call. These are training calls. And it's really about, it's not like new stuff. It's about stuff that you already have access to, but most people forget they do. And then we can go into more of a discussion and really, you know, dig into what the topic is. And this month is on, we call it bioenergetics. And it's basically about the non-physical part of our body. And as we know, and I'm learning more and more and more as time goes on, the non-physical has just as much of an impact and sometimes more on our health than the physical. So when I say physical, I mean like the nutrition and movement and all that, and the energy that, you know, courses through our bodies, you know, based on even ancient acupuncture techniques, which is like, that's the oldest kind of medicine, right? That's not, it's way older than all of the stuff that is practiced now in modern medicine. And there's a lot of merit to it. And I want to go through some of the different ways that energy is used in the body to help you to balance the flow. And we have our resident expert, Kelly, on the team, and she is certified in energy medicine through, not Barbara Brennan, right? It's
Donna Eden.
Donna Eden, right. Donna Eden. Yeah. So I'm excited to have you here, and I'm excited to do this. So what I want to do is share my screen a little bit and just show you what we have set up for you. And then like we can branch off into different directions. So when we think about energy medicine, we can think about acupuncture, right? The ancient Chinese, Korean, Japanese, it's all in so many different cultures in Asia, where they map the body out to these specific points. And those points are energy points and these flows that go through the body that are energy. And while you can't see them, you can still measure them, right? It's not like it's muscle and it's tissue that you can actually touch and feel, but you can measure it, and you can measure it with electrical current. So similar, you know, a lot of people kind of poo-poo energy medicine and all this. And I say, oh, well, do you have Wi-Fi? Do you use a telephone? Do you use a cell phone? That's all energy, packets of energy that are invisibly surrounding us, but that are carrying messages. And that your body does the same thing. Your body carries these invisible messages. And it's not the blood where we can, you know, stick a finger in or a needle in and pull the blood out. And it's not even the electrical conductivity like the heart. It's a little bit more vague than that. And that's why people have a hard time with it and think, oh, you're in that woo-woo stuff, right? But it's not woo-woo stuff. It's the same stuff that our cell phones are made of. It's the same stuff that the internet and all the stuff that we do used to be in the olden days, right? When you wanted to talk to somebody on the phone, there were actually wires, right? There were telephone poles with wires connecting them. Remember those days? And we figured out how to tap in to the invisible. And, you know, to me, it's sometimes really scary when I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, I'm here in my office and the box is downstairs for the internet. And I'm like, if I could see, right, if we could see the invisible, what would that look like? And I think it would probably look very chaotic, because there's just so many energy sources, right? There's electromagnetics coming from my lights, from my computer screen. There's all the stuff that's coming through. So how does your body sort through all that and make sense of it and be in a position where you can actually use it to your benefit? And a lot of times you see, we try to use this to our benefit in the body, but all those external ones hurt it, right? It gets in the way. And I want to just throw another thing out before we look at the website. But have you ever like walked into a room and gotten a sudden, just a feeling when you walked into the room, whether it was a good feeling or a bad feeling? Who's ever had that experience where you walk into a room and you go, ooh, you know, I don't like the energy in this room. It's like, there's some negative vibes going on in here. Or you walk into a room and you go, oh, I just feel so good with these people. And sometimes it's also getting a vibe off somebody. Like I can, you know, there's visual clues, right? I can look at you and I can see the Rachel smiling and Martha's looking intense and looking down and Sandra's smiling and you know, Donna's looking like, hey, what the heck? You know, so sometimes it's blank and sometimes it's like, whoa. And do you ever look at somebody and just get an immediate feeling like something was wrong? Did you ever get that, right? And that's not just because you see like a frown on their face, because some people are very happy or they pretend to be very happy. They have a big smile, but you can tell from their energy. And that's what I want to get through on here. And I want to talk to you about different ways that we can measure that energy in the body and how we can use that to help us in our day-to-day life and use it to help us to restore health. Acupuncture is the most well-known of these, but there's a lot of that. And I've, you know, in my various years in practice, used energy medicine through machines. But then there's also the energy medicine that I've learned, you know, working with people like Laura Fine, of like just kind of feeling into the body and knowing and watching the energy move in a person. So it's very valuable. And so I'm going to go ahead and start share my screen. And okay, and it's here. So we have this page on your site. It's called Bioenergetics, and you get to it from the main ERC page. I'll show you that in a second. Open link. And you should scroll down on this page, or you can click the button at the top if they still work. Some of those stopped. So we look here under where it says ERC Elite Modules. Last month we talked brain, and this month we're going to talk bioenergetics. And so you click that and you get to this page here that I already have open. So I've used a lot of this in my practice over the years, you know, having been working with people for about 30 years, and I've used a lot of this in my practice, both using needles, using points, and also using like learning over time to really tune into my intuition and to learn how to read the energy as somebody in somebody's body. So we basically have a video for you. We have the slides. We have a transcript of the audio. I think it's probably about like 45 minutes. No, an hour. It's an hour. Mostly I'm so verbose that hardly anything is less than an hour that I put together. We have a guide here of the modalities, and it's kind of things that I discussed in there. I'll just show you what that looks like. And then we'll go through them. So I just give you a little summary of the various kinds of energy that and medicine and the stuff that's, it's a short 2-page summary of what's in the video. Highly recommend you watch the video because you'll get into a lot more. So acupuncture, you know, people think about acupuncture. A lot of people think about acupuncture as pain management. There's a lot of MDs that will incorporate acupuncture, chiropractors incorporate acupuncture into the practice for pain management. You have certain areas of pain. And it's been found to be extremely helpful. But what it's based on is that there are meridians in the body, and these are energy flows. And let me pull up the picture because I think I have a good picture in here. Open link. So there's 12 meridians and they flow through the body. Some of them go, you know, through the trunk and down to the feet. Some of them go down to the arms. So some of them start in the face and come down to the arms. Some of them start in the trunk and go down to the legs. I mean, it takes years and years and years of studying this to really get good at it. And even after you've studied it for many years, there's like hundreds and hundreds of these acupressure points or puncture points, and it's hard to remember what they all are. But after a while, you start to understand what the different meridians mean. The thing that took me a while in acupuncture school, because I, you know, went through Western practice first, is that the meanings of some of these don't really match up to the meanings that we perceive. So for example, let's just look at the stomach and the spleen. Right? We think of them as digestive organs. Stomach is a digestive organ and spleen is like your blood recycling. And in Chinese medicine, there's a lot more to that. Small intestine are like, for example, I'm trying to think of one that really stood out for me the first time I sat in a class and they said, oh, the bladder, like they're talking about the bladder and what the bladder, I'm like, it doesn't do that. That's not what the bladder does. Right? But there's an energy about it. So kidney is very big into the sex organ type stuff. It's your chi, your prana, whatever, your big energy flow. And so these are the meridians, and they flow equally on both sides to the body. Well, not equally in terms of the energy, but the points are the same on both sides of the body. I have a couple of these dolls. It's very helpful when you're trying to remember various points. And there's certain ways that you do acupuncture. And, you know, you stick the needle in and you put it into a point. And in some versions of acupuncture, you might have somebody who twists it and just keeps twisting it until you feel something moving. Others, it's just a very light, and others it's very deep. And there's just very various and sundry types of acupuncture. When I was going through acupuncture school, my younger son was probably about 4 years old, and he was looking at these needles. He said, "What do you do with those, mommy? What are they?" And I told him what they were. And he said, "Oh, show me." So I like found a point and stuck it in my arm, and I showed him what it was like. He goes, "Wow, that looks cool. Can I do that? Can you do it on me?" He first said, I'm like, "Okay." So I put a point in here. He goes, "Wow, that's really cool. Can I do it on you?" I'm like, "Okay, what am I getting myself into here?" So I actually taught him. There's a very specific technique of how you hold the needle, and then you do this little thrust with your finger and you take it out very gently. And I showed him how to do it. I showed him me doing it on me. So I went, "Okay, what the heck?" And I found a spot and I said, "Okay, you can do it on me too." He did it. I was like, "Wow, okay. Now I have somebody who can reach my back when I have a problem in my back and I want to run this." And it was just so amazing because he was 3 years old, and I would go into their bedroom and they would be, you know, getting their bath finished and come out, and then we'd all lay in bed in one of their rooms. I don't remember which one. And one of my sons would just be like listening to the story I was reading. And I would have been, while they're in there, I'm reading my acupuncture book, you know, and studying the points. And I put the book down. So I start reading the book and Eric's listening to me read the book, right? He's getting into it. Kevin's like, at the end of the story, he goes, "Mom, did you know that there's acupuncture points on every place on the body except the eyeballs and the penis?" He had been flipping through this book, like fascinated at 4 years old. So, you know, it's a fascinating science. And my older son had this electroacupuncture, I'll talk about that in a minute, with a practitioner when he was a teenager. And he would literally say, "Oh, when you put that point there, I felt it." And he'd tell him where, and it would be the exact meridian pathway. Like he wasn't making it up. It's not like he studied the acupuncture books like his brother had. So when you stimulate a certain point, you oftentimes feel it down or up the meridian. And it's the idea is to release energy flow or to increase the flow, right? Sometimes they're stuck and there's energy stuck at a certain point, and you boom, you do this stuff and it releases it. And other times you want to increase the energy into that meridian to attain a certain point. And so there's certain points that you may want to know about that are good for various things that you can actually stimulate on yourself. You might've heard of the headache point. Who's heard of that? The headache point over here, right? And it's just basically, you know, you come down off the bone and into the crevice. And that is the large intestine meridian, large intestine 4. And it you'll feel it. If you feel that, the end of that meridian goes up the arm and it ends right here next to the nose, right? So you may actually feel it going all the way up into your nose. There's other points for headache also under the eyes. And if you do it right now, if you reach under your eye, you'll feel that bone there. Do you feel a little like divot in that bone midway? You feel it? Yeah, no? Just kind of roll your eyes, your fingers along the bone right below your eye, and right in the middle, right there where I'm at right now, is the little divot. And that's small intestine point, small intestine 3, I think it is. And that's really excellent for headaches and sinus problems and things like that. So there's ways to learn just like the bare minimum. And there's books that'll show you various symptom things. It's not like a thorough treatment of them like you would get in acupuncture, but it's certainly great for symptom relief. There's this one.
Sorry, on the edge or the surface? Oh,
yeah, if you go down below the eye, you'll feel the bone. You feel the bone there?
Yeah, but the edge of the bone or the surface?
You're just going to go along the bone and right in the middle of the bone. So halfway between. So like if you look at your pupil being right there in the middle,
This is super tiny.
It's tiny, tiny, tiny. Yeah. This is all very subtle. That's all very subtle. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And there's spots. So there are books that you can get. And I think I have some in the thing. There's one called Simply a Better Way. And it's basically a very simplistic approach to different kinds of, you know, it's acute care stuff. It's not long-term care stuff. It's acute care, but various things you can do to help with things. So there's a spot on the ear out here that helps with eating, like appetite. And I remember doing that with a person, and it's right around here. And I did that with somebody. She'd been having trouble with, you know, keeping on her diet and losing weight and all this stuff. So I said, I've never done this before, but would you like to be a guinea pig and let me try this on you? So I put the little pellets on those points, and there was a couple of other points that are associated with it. That same week, she said, I cannot believe how that alleviated my cravings, my hunger cravings. And she lost a few pounds that week. So there's a lot of really great stuff you can do with acupuncture. There's people who use acupuncture to help people with fertility, to get pregnant, right? I mean, there's just so much. And pain, obviously, there's all kinds of great things for pain. There's combinations of points you can use for pain. There's this combination of points that my acupuncture teacher used to call, he was Chinese, and he'd call it the Western people's points. I'm like, what do you mean by that? It's like, we got to calm you guys down. You guys are always so stressed out. So there's a point here, the one I just told you, the large intestine 4. And then if you go down onto your foot in that same place, so the big toe between, I can't show you, it's hard to do. That same point is liver one. I don't remember numbers very well. I'm very bad at remembering the numbers. 2. Thank you. Oh, 3. It is 3. That's what came to my mind first. So liver 3. So you're on large intestine 4, liver 3, and you do it on both sides at the same time. And then one right in the middle right here. And it like knocks people out. Like if you're stressed out and you get needles in there, I just like, but if you're not, you know, can't do needles and you're doing it yourself, it's hard to do them all at the same time, but you can get some little pellets, and I'll show you what those look like in a bit. So you get these little pellets that you can put on, and they're like, it's like a little round Band-Aid with a bead in there. If you don't have those, you can even just get like a chia seed. It would be perfect size. You get a chia seed and put a piece of bandage over it, and you put them on these points. And so you can put them on those points and then just lay down and see if it knocks you out and calms you down. So just acupuncture is, it's hard to learn because there's a lot of points. You really have to study a lot and what they all mean. But it's just so effective at helping you to override, you know, it's things like I would do it along with chiropractic adjustments. So especially like somebody was having low back pain, I would put the needles in their points, and then I would work the trigger points in their muscles, and then do specific adjustments and get great relief that I wouldn't get with just the adjustments or the massage alone. So if you're ever, you know, wanting to get some good relief from stress, if you want to deal with pain, you can do that too. I have a machine just like this, and it basically, you can put the needles in the person and you can accentuate them with electricity. Now, for some people, this is way over the top too much, but for a lot of people, it just really helps to everything to relax and for the pain to go away. So that's another thing called electroacupuncture. And then auricular acupuncture, where you get, these are the beads I was telling you about. And I have resources for all of this in this module. These are the beads, and you basically put them on points, and there's this mapping of your body, your entire body on your ear. And you know, it's like, okay. And it's really interesting. It's fascinating that you can actually feel like when you feel into these points, after you've done it for a while, you can actually feel it, and they will feel it on those different parts of their body. It's quite cool. And this is a picture. So if ever you're looking for, you know, help, like you can't reach your lumbar spine and, you know, massage it yourself, it's hard. So you can look at it on here, and you can put one of these little pellets on those points. So you've got all of these on that page. It's really helpful to know some of this stuff. Right? Same thing like people do foot reflexology. You've heard of foot reflexology, right? Yeah, it's similar. There's a mapping all over. Now there's also a mapping on the hand. So Korean hand acupuncture, and they've basically mapped on one side of the hand, or on one side of the picture, I have a really cool picture. They'll show all the organs, right? So you're basically going to be putting those pellets, or you could put needles, but you could put the pellets on those spots if that those spots are bothering you or hurting. I remember doing this on someone one time while she was in the office. She had certain pain, and I gave her these pellets, and I gave her a chart, and I gave her a little, like it's an embossing tool that has it's almost like a pen, but it has just a little knob at the end so you can poke around and find the tender spots. And she had called me the next day, and she says, wow, that was really great. I can't believe how well that worked. I'm having pain in my jaw. Can I use this for the pain in the jaw? So I said, sure. And I told her to take, see the guy on the picture, right? So I told her to go there, and then which side was it? And just to, oh, that actually hurts. I wonder why, right? Because, you know, if you just use, nope, that spot right there hurts. So you can actually go through and say, are there spots in my body that might be activated right now for whatever reason? You don't have to know. And you can just treat that point. Like right now, that's the other spots don't hurt. There's just this one spot. And I think I know why. It's right around where I have that root canal on this side of my mouth. And that's what's hurting. So I'm going to do some pellets on that later. And you basically can put the pellet on, and you can leave it for about an hour, and, you know, and then you take it off, and you can do it the next day, and you can treat it every day. I learned this from an acupuncturist who was not Chinese or Asian at all. He was just, you know, American, but he had studied after he finished his training. He went to China, and he was studying and in a hospital or some sort of, I think it was a hospital. And he would notice that people are like getting well so quickly, but they were in the hospital. So they were captive audiences, and they're working on them like every day. And when he got back home and he started his practice, he's like, I'm not getting those dramatic results like I did when I was in this hospital. So he started to research and look into it. And he found this whole thing on Korean hand therapy, and he studied it, and he started doing it. And he said, so great, because whereas you can get somebody to come into the office to see you for like once a week or something, right? If you're lucky, maybe once every 2 weeks, but if they could just go home and do it themselves every day. So he started doing that, and he started getting results that were more similar to what he was getting in the hospital in China. So these are really good. You've got these charts. They're really fun to work with. And you could just basically, you could take a pen, not a ballpoint pen that has the lid on it. It has to be a retractable. These aren't quite small enough in my opinion, but they work well enough. And you can just look and go, oh yeah, I wonder if I have any issues with my liver. Let me poke on that spot. Let me poke on that spot. And when you find spots, you can just treat them with the pellets. I mean, it's kind of crass way to do it, but it's helpful. It can be very, very, very helpful. And I've used this Korean hand acupuncture on, you know, lots and lots of people. And that's just another view of it. It shows you how. Now, they can also use these moxibustion things. You could put heat on it. You could put these other pellets. This is the tool that I was telling you about. It's like you can get this at Michael's or Hobby Lobby or one of those or crafts type store. And they're embossing tools. And they have different size at the different ends of it. So when you have both of these and you have your little pellets, you can start treating yourself at home for various pain syndromes. Like Donna, I know you have some shoulder stuff, right? You can actually find those shoulder spots on the hand, right? You have to do the right side. If you find your shoulder, where is your, it's probably right around somewhere in here. This is the organs. Let me go to the body parts. Here we go. Yeah, so here's the legs and stuff. So here's the arm. Right. So you'd be right in here, depending on which side it is, but right in this part of your hand. And if there's this tender spot in there and you start to poke, put needles, not needles, but pellets on there every day, no pain with the pellets, then you can maybe get some relief with the energy flowing to that shoulder. Does that make sense? And then there's foot reflexology, right? So foot reflexology is, similar to the way it's mapped out on the ear or the hand, it's mapped out on the foot. And if you've ever been to, you know, some of these cool spas. They have somebody who does foot reflexology, and you can find spots that are related to places that you're having trouble with. And just digital pressure can be helpful yourself. So if you poke around on your foot and you find something tender, then just poke, you know, work with it. And then you can look at the chart to see what that might be reflective of in your body. Any questions so far about that? No? Good. These are some acupressure practices, and there's different forms of it. Shiatsu is what, like, how people think about people walking on your back, right? You're working on these points, like really hard pressure. Jinshin Jitsu and Jinshin Do are more the light touch energy, where you're just basically holding two points and feeling the energy between those points. And oftentimes when they get balanced, you'll feel a pulsing in the finger, and the fingers will, like, they'll go in sync. And then you'll know you can move on to another. This is a cool book because it has different types of issues, like menstrual cramps or shoulder pain, knee pain, whatever. And you can actually look at different pieces. The menstrual cramp back in the day when I used to use it was a phenomenal protocol. You like just lay on the floor and you put your hands on different spots, and it would take away menstrual cramps really quickly. So if you are somebody you know, or you're working with a client that has menstrual cramps, these are really great things to work with, you know, to really help people with. And then there's various acupuncture. I did this thing called Tuina when I was in acupuncture school. I did a whole course on it. It was really interesting because you're kind of rocking while you're holding these points. Watsu is the most dreamy thing I've ever experienced. It's actually shiatsu in a swimming pool. So they put a little pillow, like a floaty pillow, under your head and under your feet. And then they just like carry you and guide you around through this water that's like 98.6. It's exactly body temperature. And they're working on different points on your body. And talk about feeling blissful and relaxed after something like that. Phenomenal, phenomenal technique. So these are just different ways. I've done, like, where people, like when my kids had friends over their house, and they go, "Oh, do you have an aspirin? I have a headache." I'm like, "Nope, we don't have aspirin in our house, but I can do some acupressure on you." And I do some acupressure. I just say, have them lay down, and they're like, "Wow, you got to teach my mom how to do that." And it's not that hard. You know, you just feel, I would feel around to where I felt like an energy block, or I felt tension in their face, and just work around it, and their headaches would go away, right? Without the need for pharmaceuticals, which is really good. Who's heard of Touch for Health? Have you heard of Touch for Health? Touch for Health, you know, was developed by, I forget his name. It's probably on there, but it's too small to read. But it's basically the mapping. It's kind of like applied kinesiology. I know, Donna, your doctor that you go to uses applied kinesiology, right? The muscle testing. And this is a way to do it on yourself. So it teaches you, like, various places. Like, if you have pain in this area, it might be related to the liver meridian, or the, you know, if it's down along the side of your legs, it might be related to the large intestine. And it's a really nice book, a self-help book that helps you to be able to, on yourself, touch on different points to help bring balance to your body. And there's some e-charts. I've never downloaded these, but it looks kind of interesting. I have the physical book. But they now have it, you know, you can get a, well, that's kind of old fashioned, right? Who does CDs anymore? Times have changed so much, right? Jump drive, probably, or just download it off the internet. And then chakras, who's worked with chakras at all? Yeah, you have. You probably can fill this in a little bit more. I know them. I know that they're there, but I don't have them all memorized. So feel free to jump in at any point in time, Kelly, and let me know. So you've got the six chakras, or seven chakras. One, you know, crown of the head, and then the other one is right down below at the base of the anus. And different chakras have different meanings in terms of the power and the energy in your in your body. So way down below, we're talking about, you know, a maternal drive and elimination. We're talking about sexual, sensual kind of things around the navel. We're talking about willpower. The physical is the heart, the love, compassion. You get into the throat, and that's, you know, where people a lot of times have a lot of blockage in the throat chakra because they're afraid to speak, right? You're afraid to find your voice. And so there's things you can do. And with each of these chakras, there's a color associated with it. And some people treat those chakras with color, like a crystal or something, or just something of that color to try to balance that chakra. They all are associated with different sounds, you know, different words, and you can actually physical. I know Laura Fine, I know some of you have worked with Laura Fine. She does a lot of chakra type work, and she teaches a lot of chakra type work. So the extent of my knowledge doesn't go much past that. Shelly, I keep wanting to call you Shelly. Kelly, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. The chakras hold so much. They hold the events of our life. They hold like our stories and traumas, and they hold our whole history, and they're super powerful. I know like my teacher, Donna Eden, always says if she could only ever do just one session with people, because we, in her system, we work with 9 different energy systems. But she says if she could only do one session with someone and she knew that's all that she had, she would work with the chakras. Because that's how powerful they are. So yeah, they're cool. Yeah.
Very cool. And there's just all these ways that you can manipulate them. And if, you know, it's something you can do on your own. Yeah, it's helpful to have somebody teach it to you and all that. But it's like, it's nice because you're empowered to try to help, you know, strengthen a chakra that's weak for you based on the colors and the sounds and various things like that. And there's different emotions, right, associated with each chakra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's the, you know, the hands-on or hands-off kind of energy movement, right? Where Reiki or Qigong, and you're basically, your hands are off the body a lot of times. So if Reiki, somebody's going through and they're just standing and they're feeling, they're in your energy field and they're moving things around. I got to be careful. I feel my energy and start feeling it going, wee, right? Because if you do that, if you do this with your hands, right? Get them warm and then start to pull them apart from each other. You're going to feel almost like a ball of energy. And you can just keep going out until you no longer feel it. Right? Sometimes you only feel it here. Sometimes you might feel it way out here. And when you have that energy, we all generate energy. We all receive energy. And you can actually give that energy very deliberately to someone in a Reiki session where you're moving it along there. And you can help people to release some blockages of energy. If there's like a stuck part, you can help them move it. And if they don't have enough energy, like they're real depleted, you can actually help to restore some of that energy with people. And it feels really good to be on the receiving end of that. It just feels like, I mean, I had a friend who we used to trade massages when we were in school together. And we would trade massages and she did a lot of Reiki. And I would lay down there and I would, next thing you know, I'd be like floating. I felt like I was floating above the table. It's the most relaxing thing. And it's very healing, right? Because we're moving and we're balancing the energy. Magnets, a lot of people use magnets. You've probably seen them maybe at the drugstore where they have like wristbands and elbow bands for when you're injured with magnets in there. And they actually help to promote healing. And EFT tapping, I'm sure you've seen that. They're always on the internet with their tapping summits and all that, where you're tapping on certain points in a certain order. And I think I have a picture of it somewhere on the site, but you're basically doing it in a specific order. You start with this karate chop and then you move up and you're basically saying things to help reprogram the subconscious while you're tapping. And the tapping is usually, they're on acupuncture points. So it's energy movement.
Rita Marie.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the tuning forks, the biome tuning?
I have not been trained in using them, but I know that a lot of people use the tuning forks. The other kind of thing is that the ball, those are bowls, right? Where you're, it's a sound healing, but sound is vibration, which is energy as well. Yeah. Have you had experience with that, Jenny?
No, just, I've just recently become aware that, I mean, I remember people using tuning forks a long time ago, but I don't, it's never been used on me. And it seems as though it's way more advanced than when I was last aware of it. And I just wondered if it was something that is more mainstream now, and if it is it effective, or if there is any type of feedback on it.
Yeah, I don't know of any research specifically. The whole mainstream idea is like, you know, how much do we have to do to, like, acupuncture is now kind of mainstream, right? A lot of MDs are doing it. I don't know about tuning forks. I think magnets are getting more and more because, you know, you'll see them on the braces. Kelly, did you have something?
Yeah, the tuning forks, if you want to look into that, Eileen McCusack is phenomenal. So you've heard of her. Yeah.
She was on the Jody Cohen's Parasympathetic Summit.
Yeah,
that was the first that I've seen of her, and I found it really interesting. And just wondered, just wondered if anybody had any experience with it.
Yeah,
I don't have with a lot of other people, but she's really great. So if you're interested in that, you know, she has a website with a lot of resources.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so you see, like, you see the color in the hands. That's what we, you know, it's kind of like visualizing in color what we were just doing with our hands and our energy. But you see, they're not touching. It's just basically, and it's with intent to heal, right? You don't want to hurt people with your energy. You don't want to be in a crappy mood and go, let me get rid of this energy. And then, you know, share it with somebody else. Because you could come out, I mean, Kelly, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if you had an energy session with somebody and then they're in a bad energy state, you could come away from it feeling just way off because you're picking up their energy.
Well, that's why it's super important to balance your own energy and make sure, like, your aura and things are strong and that you're grounded and that you've kind of taken care of your own energy before you work with someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Laura Fine, when she teaches, it has this process you go through before you work on each person. And when I've been to classes with her where people are going from one person, we always had to stop and do this grounding exercise and before we go on to the other person, because, you know, you don't want to give them your bad vibes. It's not good. We have enough of our own, right? We don't need somebody else's bad energy. So that's the Reiki. The Qigong, you know, it's a combination. It's a movement, but it's this, you know, kind of slow movement. But there's things that you're doing in there to move and play with the energy in there. And they do a lot of stuff with the pulling the energy up from the earth and down from the heavens. And, oh, just do that for a second. I don't know if it's me or what, but when I do that, I just feel like a tingling throughout my body, just like reach down, like you're scooping up dirt from the ground and with the idea that you're pulling up energy from the core, from the earth center, right? And you can do that with the sky. You're going to bring down the heavenly energy into you. And do you feel it? Can you feel that there's like a, just feels really good to me. Feel it? Yeah. And you know, the more you become aware of it, the more you're aware of energy in people as you make it through your day to day, you get aware that there's energy in their bodies. And like I said, sometimes not so good. Like there's people I walk in the room with, I'm like, no, don't want to be in here, right? Just is this negative vibe. And it's not like they're bad people. It's just a lot of people cycle a lot of bad stuff and they stay in a negative space. And when you surround yourself with people who are in a negative space, it's so easy to pick up on that, especially if you are a sensitive person. And there's magnets, you know, you can see all the braces with the magnets in it. That was a book, very probably old book, with Gary Null, but there's plenty more of those around. I think they're really, it's really a good way to heal. There's the positive and the negative. I had this set of magnets that I was using when I was seeing patients in practice, and I would use them to test foods on a person. So I would put, you know, I forget whether it was the upside was the south or the north, but one side went against the body and you'd put the magnet over the food to help drive the energy of that food into the body and see if the muscle would go weak from that. So there's a lot of really cool stuff you can do with magnets. Chopping, there's the picture. I told you I had it. So basically go through the karate chop, it tells you there. And it helps to reprogram some of the subconscious that creates physical stress in the body. Many years ago, probably about 10 years ago, when I was first starting to do some online programs, I invited, what's his name? The guy, the tapping guy, Nick Ortner, to come and do a class, like a session with us. And he asked for somebody to volunteer at the beginning, like who has some kind of pain that's really been there a while and it's really, you know, seems like it's never going to go away. And we had one woman and he started going through and tapping while he was asking her questions. And what he got out of her was that she had injured her back when she was attempting to go to nursing school and she'd started nursing school. She injured her back and had to quit. And she never went back. The pain was still there. And he kept her, you know, tapping and saying things. And it got that there was this resentment. There was this, you know, feeling that not being able to finish nursing school gave her. And so it stored in her back. And he took her through this process. And at the beginning, he had said, what's your pain on the scale of, you know, 0 to 10? And then at the end, it had gone down to, I think it was like an 8 or something at the beginning. It was down to a 2 at the end. Very dramatic shifts can happen. Now you have to keep up the affirmations and whatever the other things you're doing while you're hitting the points, but it can be very, 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 very helpful. So then there's equipment. And I use a lot of this equipment for pain management, ultrasound. You guys have heard me talk about ultrasound before. I've shown Donna and a couple of others on an actual end of a call one time, how to use it and how to do it for various parts. I find, you know, it's a sound vibration. It's different. It's a different spectrum from ultrasound when you're doing it diagnostically on the body. But it creates like a movement in there and it can create heat. And what I've seen is dramatic shifts in people just doing ultrasound a few times on various body parts. I've had people who have said, oh, my foot is hurting really badly, got the acupuncture machine. Why do I keep calling it an acupuncture machine? The ultrasound machine, and done it. And like within a week was able to walk again on a foot where they hadn't been able to for several months. I've seen it happen. Like Karen Osborne, who many of you have met, she had a frozen shoulder and she'd been coming to see me and I was doing acupuncture on her, but she lived like half an hour away and she would only come like once a week. With frozen shoulder, you need that more. She got an acupuncture machine. I keep saying it, I'm very consistent. She got this ultrasound machine and she started doing it on her shoulder once or twice a day. And within a week to 10 days, she had complete range of motion back in her shoulder. So it can work phenomenally. It doesn't work for everybody. It works beautifully for my son who always would sprain his ankles doing skateboarding. And I would do the ultrasound on him. You can't do it on kids. So I couldn't do it on him till he was 18. Once before they've passed their growth plate, when their growth plates close and they no longer grow, it can actually damage the growth plate if you're not careful. So I wouldn't do it on him until he was 18. And then, it was phenomenal. His healing was so quick on so many of his injuries because of doing ultrasound. And actually, last Christmas, there was a company, I think I have this Medtronics, I think. Well, so I have it on somewhere. I have it on the list on the site. Last Christmas, this company was having a sale. They're usually like $179. It was on sale for $104. I went, I'm going to buy one of these, you know, just to have this extra thing I could take on trips. And then I told my son about it and he was like, so he took it home with him so that he can do, I had to teach him how, but that he could do ultrasound on his own foot whenever he hurts it, which he does a lot because he continues to skateboard, even though he has this bad ankle. Muscle stimulation. Funny story, I have a kid. Mine looks just like this. But basically the muscle stimulation, you put these electrodes on the muscles and it causes a contract, relax. And there's different frequencies that you do that with. And it does different things in the body. So a certain frequency might be for pain relief. Another frequency might be for pulsating and getting inflammation out. And there's one frequency set that's for strengthening muscles, and they call it the Russian stim setting, because the Russian athletes started using this, like in the winter when they couldn't go out and exercise as much and, you know, to train, they would do this to stimulate their muscle contractions, and worked really well. So with this, I've done that with my son, and I could do that before he was 18. So when he was younger, he would lay on the table and I would put on the electrodes wherever he was injured. And he thought it was so cool that, you know, he was spontaneously just muscles are like flying all over the place. And then I found out one of our friends said, oh, my son just loves to go visit Kevin, and Kevin's always doing acupuncture and muscle stim on him. And I'm like, oh Lord, I traveled a lot, and there's my kid at home playing doctor for real with his kids. But he thought it was funny. Like, let's turn it up as high as you can stand. You can't do this, Kevin. You can't do this. You can get us in trouble. And there's a picture where, depending on what you're trying to do, you cross them, cross each other. That's an interferential kind of thing. But it's phenomenal. It really works well for helping with muscle tension and, you know, muscles that don't want to relax.
So is that like the TENS?
It's different than TENS. Great question. TENS is a superficial that hits the sensory nerves. So TENS is specifically for pain, and this goes deeper and it hits the muscles. So that's the difference between TENS and this. TENS is superficial with the sensory nerves, and this is going to make
them. Yeah, when I was at Hippocrates, they had this as well. They had so many cool things. That was my best thing about Hippocrates. There's so many different therapies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is TENS?
TENS is similar to this, where there's little pads that you put on, and it's an electrical frequency, but it's a different frequency. It's just meant to hit the sensory nerves, the ones, you know, that are more superficial and on the skin, to help you with getting, you know, pain relief. And you have to wear TENS a long time. Like, you wear a TENS, you wear it, you carry it around with you. Like, you put it in your pocket and it's going all the time for pain relief. Whereas this is something you know, do therapeutically for maybe 10 minutes at a time, 10 to 20 minutes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then there's lasers. A friend of mine had a laser like this that he loaned me when I was when I broke my arm, and it just helps to speed up the healing. And there's a lot of doctor's offices that are using lasers for therapeutics, a lot of chiropractors' offices, orthopedic offices, for pain relief. And it's basically, the one thing you do have to be careful about is the eyes. You don't want to point that towards the eyes because it can damage your eyes, but it can be very helpful in doing that. There's another thing called a Scanar. Again, it's similar. It's a smaller device, and it's Russian technology. And when you put that on, it actually helps to reorganize the energy into the area that you're trying to get help with. And then we have homeopathy. So homeopathy is voodoo medicine, according to, you know, medicine, allopathic medicine thinks of it as voodoo medicine, because you're basically infusing these little pellets or the liquid with the energy of that plant or of that substance. So for example, who's ever done arnica for pain or for bruising, right? Arnica is Arnica montana. It's a plant, and at high doses, it has a different effect than the microscopic. So what they do is they take that plant and then they put some of that herb into liquid or water or something. They succuss it, they shake it in a certain way, a certain number of times, and then they dilute it more and shake it a little bit more. So if you were to buy a homeopathic, like say Arnica, and you were to see a 3C level of Arnica, and you were to see a 100 M, the M has been diluted, like, I don't know, it's not 100 because I gave you weird numbers, but a lot of times more than the other one. It's much more dilute.
Yeah, the C is 100, the M is 1,000.
The C is 100, the M is 1,000, right? So there's a tenfold difference between them, right? So I use the 3, I should have used 1. 1C versus 1M, right? There's a tenfold difference between them. Right. And so it's much more dilute, which makes it more potent, which is kind of interesting. And so with the lower potencies, you're going to be putting, you're going to take it in your body, and like for bruising, for arnica, you basically do usually in the C doses, usually C's. And so you take in a C dose, but if you're taking a homeopathic at a much higher dose, it can be much more specific. So like arnica can be very general, right? You do it at this lower dose, but if you've got a whole bunch of complex symptoms, right? The practitioner will ask you lots of questions and come up with a particular remedy at a particular dose that you really only have to take like once or twice, or, you know, once a week even. So I remember taking my son when he was bedwetting. I took him to a homeopathic practitioner, and this doctor asked me so many crazy questions. I'm like, does he like eggplant? Does he think that, like, serious stuff like that was, I thought, sounded kind of odd. And he came up with one thing, one remedy. We gave him that remedy and he stopped bedwetting. It was like a miraculous. It was so miraculous. My younger son, he was having an issue when he was in middle school. He was kind of anxious. We looked at his genes later and realized why he was anxious, but he was afraid of getting hurt. He had read on the internet somewhere that if you get hit in the temple, that you can have a subdural hematoma and die and not even know you were injured. So anytime anybody would come near him at school and, you know, bang him in the side of the head, or he'd go, "Mom, mom, mom," he'd call me up and, "Mom, mom, mom, am I going to die? Am I going to die?" He was freaked out. And so I started to think, well, maybe we can get some homeopathic remedy for him. So I started asking him questions, and the questions I asked him, like another one was, "Do you ever have like problems with your bowels? Like when you're, yeah. What about this? So I asked him a bunch of questions, and I found this one remedy that he could take. And within 2 weeks, he just stopped having that freak out attack stuff. It just worked that well because we were able to find that one that what was balancing his energy around this fear. Does that make sense? So these things can be phenomenal and very miraculous. And there's some homeopathics. You can get this Materia Medica. You can get these like homeopathics for family homeopathic type things, which will give you different ideas for different formulas. And, you know, the law of similar is that if a particular plant or medicine that they're going to use is going to cause this symptom in a large dose, it's going to reverse that symptom in a small dose. So it's the law of similars. It's classic homeopathy, which is where you find that one remedy. And then there's formulas, which is what you mostly see at like Whole Foods. Here's the teething formula. Here's the flu formula, whatever. And then the shaking is the succussing. And then the dosing is what I talked about with the 30s versus the M's and the C's and the D's and all that. So it's a really, you know, it's an old art, but I think it's coming, you know, more and more people are knowing about it. It's definitely on the poo-poo list for allopathic medicine, because it's like, oh, come on. You're telling me that there's, if I were to look at this, there's very little, if any, arnica, the arnica left in here because it's been diluted so many times, and you're telling me that's going to work? Yeah, it's working based on the energy of that plant in the medium that you're taking it. And they either come in these little pellets or they come in like a liquid. So
can I say something?
Absolutely.
So when I had my surgery, I didn't use any kind of pain medicine or anti-nausea medicine or any of that, and I only used homeopathy.
It's awesome.
Recovery.
Yeah, and it worked, right?
Only thing.
Yeah.
And they actually, there's a company who actually sells special doses of arnica for right after surgery.
Oh, really? What company is that? Do you know? Do you remember?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I would have to look it up again, but yeah.
I use the same thing, Donna. Just the arnica was recommended before and after, and I'd gone to naturopath that had a protocol for pre-surgery and post-surgery, and it really helped. The other thing that I got that I was phenomenal was some meditative, there's some meditations for pre and post
surgery. Yeah, I did that as well.
Yeah, me too. And I had shoulder surgery And it was remarkable. I've never had a problem. The doctor was kind of, I would had it done at University of Washington in their teaching hospital. And it couldn't have gone better.
That's awesome. I know somebody, a friend of mine, she does hypnosis for pre and post surgery and like during surgery. So you listen to these tapes beforehand and then during the surgery, some doctors are iffy about it. They won't let you, but during surgery and then after. And I had recommended this to one of our team members who was having foot surgery. She had a broken bone that had to be put in place. And the doctor wouldn't let her listen to it during, but she listened to it before. And then she listened to it after and followed the protocols. And she said it was just so phenomenal, the difference between that and, you know, having had surgeries before, knowing what it was like. It's just so much you can do on that energetic wavelength, you know?
Yeah.
I took homeopathics for when I broke my bone and my arm and had to fix it.
Yeah, you know, my doctor actually let me listen to it during. He was just like, oh gosh, here comes Donna, you know, because I wanted a better kind of anesthesia. I wanted to, you know, not have any drugs, no antibiotics, no nothing in me. And he was just like, oh gosh.
This crazy lady. All right.
Everything. So I could take my arnica as soon as I got
home. That's great. That's great. It's great when you can get somebody who'll cooperate with that, because it does make a huge difference. After I broke my arm and it was put back together, it was fine after the surgery, but he said, you know what, it's going to be about 12 to 18 hours. You're going to start to feel it. And then he said to me, take the pain medication as soon as you start to feel it. Otherwise it's going to get too much and it's going to be too much. And I'm like, dang it, right. You know me, right? Yeah, sure. So he said, but you'll know that the pain is going to be following shortly, within 3 hours, as soon as you can like even tiny bit move your fingertips. And I was like, okay. So breathing and meditating and like putting that stuff off, it did get to the point probably like 24, like 30 hours after the surgery that it was just so unbearable and I couldn't sleep. And I had gone to a friend who did electroacupuncture on me and that helped for like an hour. And then it came back with a vengeance and I finally broke down and I took like, I think I took an Advil or two. And it was just enough to dampen the pain a little to let me go to sleep. That was the extent of it. Everything else was the homeopathics, the vitamin C and all the good stuff and the acupressure, the whatever you call it, the electroacupuncture. So this stuff really does work. It's not something that the drug companies want us to know how to use because it takes away from their bottom line. And I don't mean to be skeptical at all, but it does. It does take away from their bottom line because we don't need as much medications if we know how to take care of ourselves this way. So
I had a question too. And I don't know that if you can help me, but okay. So I was going to start looking for an acupuncturist just for general,
Yeah.
And how do you know if they're effective or not? Like I've had acupuncture in the past and, you know, I could have taken it and leaved it. I can't say that there was any distinct difference that I felt, but that was for pain. This is more a general energetic thing, trying to get stuff unblocked and that sort of,
how do you know, right? And you don't necessarily know for sure. If it's pain, you know, because the pain goes away. If you're a stress bunny and you fall asleep on the table and you feel like blissed out and you love how it feels, you know, right? But, you know, I would get recommendations before, because there's some acupuncturists that are really good and some of them just go boom, boom, boom and stick needles in you and they don't really have a real good feel for it. You want somebody who has a good energetic feel for yourself. Mm-hmm. Right, that you really blend with their energy. And, you know, quite frankly, if you go by how you feel, unless there's a particular problem that you're working on, and then you'll see that the problem gets gradually better.
Mm-hmm. Well, even things like reflexology, I always wonder, you can go to a spa or a salon and there's somebody who's had a 2-week course in reflexology and they say that they're doing reflexology and I don't know, I'm guessing if it feels great, that's great, but when you're paying money for what you're hoping will be a treatment for various things, I just never know, should you be looking for somebody who has years of experience or has gone through an actual program?
It's helped. I mean, it certainly helps, you know, with acupuncture. To be certified in acupuncture, you have to go through a 3 to 4 year training. So you do have to be certified and you're trained really well. It doesn't mean you're good, but it means that that's a starting point. But on the other hand, you know, there are people who are just like, just so talented that right from the beginning, they don't have multiple years of experience. They just have this intuitive, energetic feel for the craft that they do really well with it.
Thank you. Yeah.
I wish I could give you more. It's like anything else. Like a chiropractor, chiropractors have really bad reps. I'm actually really scared to go to a chiropractor unless it's somebody I know or is referred, because there's a lot of really bad ones out there, right? Yeah. I went to school with some of them and I didn't like their attitudes and I didn't like what they were, you know, it's like, right. So you just have to,
Okay. I didn't know if maybe there was some golden rule to use besides.
There was. I wish there was.
Me too.
There isn't. So for here, these are the things we went through. Let me see if there's anything that I missed. This is just a summary of what you defined in there. So here's some additional resources. So the Trigger Point Therapy Workbook is really awesome for pain relief. And it's more like a musculoskeletal thing, but I put it here just because it's something you can do at home. And it shows you the different points and where they refer to. And I've had patients, I first was heard about this from a patient who was coming in to see me, but you know, again, they can't come every day to come see you on specific areas. And she went and found this book and she started working on it and her progress was phenomenal. So it's a really nice book. It's like $20 on Amazon. The acupuncture ear seeds. So these are all active links. That's where you can buy the acupuncture ear seeds. The Touch for Health book, I mentioned that. Acupuncture charts. This is just probably the bigger versions of those in different ways if you wanted to have some acupuncture charts for you yourself. Korean hand acupuncture reference. I forget what this is. Oh yeah, it's a nice little booklet, paperback book type of book that has more information about that if that's something you wanted to do. Craniosacral. I didn't mention craniosacral therapy, but that's another energy movement thing where you're feeling the movement of the various sutures in the scalp, in the head, and there's a movement. And sometimes they get out of alignment and the cerebrospinal fluid is coming down the tube around the spinal column, and that tube attaches to the base of the cranium and then down to the sacrum. So that's why they call it craniosacral. We're trying to help to have a real smooth movement of that cerebrospinal fluid and the way that the bones in the head, they may come this way, they may go this way, and the practitioner will feel that and feel the movement and just follow it and try to edge it to loosening up. And it's another one of those things that feels really good when somebody knows what they're doing and does it. I've had so many amazing experiences with craniosacral where I just felt like I was floating in the air, like I was just suspended. Ultrasound we talked about, and that's just a link. Let me see if that one is actually the one. This is the one. Periodically they go on sale, so watch this link. Like right now it's $75, but last year I got it for $104 at Christmas time. And maybe they have a Black Friday. Oh no, it was actually maybe Black Friday. Don't remember exactly, but. And then this is a live demo. Hopefully it's still active, of an EFT, the tapping. Let's see if it works. Oh, that doesn't look like EFT. Okay, I wonder why that is. Let me see. Copy link address. Put it over here and see what it says. I have to find that one because that's not tapping. And that's it. You know, that's the energy medicine stuff. I think it's really something to explore. It's something to really take seriously, because it can be super helpful for you in working with yourself, working with family members. You know, it's just a really great thing. Any questions, comments, experiences that you've had? Karen's there. Did you hear me talk about you earlier with your shoulder? Karen had great experience with the ultrasound.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was, I've used it several times since that too.
Mm-hmm. Did you use it when you broke your leg?
No, I didn't. I didn't know if I could use it with a plate in there.
Oh, right. Yeah, you can't. You're not supposed to use it in areas where there's a plate.
But I did use I have a muscle stimulator and TENS unit in one. And that was helpful.
That's great. Anybody else have experience with any of this stuff that wants to share? Donna.
Yeah, so along with the surgery thing, I use, you know, essential oils. I use those flower essences. Mm-hmm. I've used, you know, lots of different, you know, I took a homeopathy course too.
Oh, nice.
But like I was talking about at Hippocrates, they had so many different types of therapies. Do you know, about needles? And I actually did some of that. I did. And it's like, in a way, it's good, but then he was an awesome one, but he would hit certain things and it would cause like these really intense pains. And so it just, you know how I get, you know, with needles in the first place. So then it was just like, then I'm just like waiting for it to hurt. And it's like, that's not what it should be about.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
But like, you know, they had these other ones with that muscle stuff, but they also had these really cool ones that there's this one bed, it was sort of like a waterbed kind of feel of it. But then it was all about the colors and the sounds and the stones that they used. It was so cool. And it would just make you feel so, that was the most relaxing thing ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, you need that every day.
Yeah, I wish.
You need to live there for a while.
It's a bit expensive.
It's a bit expensive, yeah. Yes. Yeah, those things, it's just all working on energy. Like when you're looking at stones and crystals and all that, it's working on your energy fields. That's how it does its magic. So there's just so much you can do. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
My chiropractor, this is Lou. Hey, my chiropractor gave me a TENS unit to use, but I was only supposed to use it for like 15 minutes at a time. Not over a long period.
Interesting.
So
because usually they'll have you just put it on and wear it with TENS, so, but it must have been a specific to your injury or pain pattern.
So, and my daughter-in-law is a vet, and so she's certified in what she does mostly is acupuncture and chiropractic work on horses.
Wow.
That's so cool. Can I use her needles, do you think?
Well, they might be thicker, but you know, a needle is—it's a needle. Let me grab one and tell you what gauges they usually are. I have mine over here.
Where's your daughter located?
South Carolina.
Oh shoot.
She went to Kansas, I think, to take her acupuncture training.
Now Lisa used to work with horses. One of the ERC coaches, Lisa.
Oh, Lisa has a horse. Yeah. I don't know that she did acupuncture on horses.
I don't know if she did acupuncture.
But she's a horse lady. So this is a big needle. This is a long one. They come in different lengths. But the higher the number, the thinner the needle, right? That's how it works with needles. So if you had like a 25 gauge needle and you had a 30 gauge needle, the 30 gauge needle is going to be thinner, right? So I would expect, because horses have thicker skin and hides and stuff than we do, that those might be lower gauge needles. I can't find. Oh, this is a 30.
And they don't go in very, on people, the needles don't really go in very far. They just.
Well, it depends on what you're doing, right? Okay. It depends on what area. that they can go in. Some that's there's techniques where they do go in pretty far. Like this is a very big needle. I would not be using this in many places. I would use this for buttocks or a thigh, you know. But the ones that I would usually use in other areas are maybe like about that thick, that long. This whole top part is not the needle itself. The needle starts around there, right? And you basically, you just take it and put it on the area that you want to put it in. And you take this little plug that keeps it from going, leaving. And once you do that and you just hip click it, you put it in, and then you can push it in as deep as you need to. And so you gauge it based on what the person's experiencing. Sometimes I'll push a little bit more and twist it a little until they feel the energy movement. And you do, you feel the energy movement. Sometimes you feel it like come out and radiate both directions, sometimes one direction, but you can feel that. And that's what we're going for a lot of times. I mean, it depends on like the age of the person and the strength, the constitutional strength. But some people, you know, it's just really good to go as deep, you go as deep as you need to and twist as much as you need to get that little bit of movement, right? That, you know, it's not really a hurt as much as a, you feel this jolt of movement.
I worked with I barter with an acupuncturist to help her.
Nice.
And so what I've noticed is that, well, first of all, people resist having that kind of treatment because they're afraid of the needles. It's not like a syringe needle. So you have to kind of help people get over that to start with.
It's much easier on the body than a syringe needle. It just doesn't hurt as much.
Right. It just like barely just goes.
Barely feel it.
Barely feel it.
You don't even know it's in sometimes, right? Because they're very thin. Let's see if I can show you. There. This is a thicker one. I've had thinner ones, but it's, you know, it's not so stiff. I mean, if I tried to just stick this in, first of all, it's that like icky feeling, right? You know how with a lancet, with a blood sugar testing, if you try to stick that needle in to test your blood sugar, you could, but it's hard without the lancet because you have to really, you have to be the one that does that initiation of the pressure. But the same thing with these, like this is thick enough that I could.
We can't see it.
Oh,
lift it up.
So I've got it in that, you know, that large intestine 4 point. So it's like, what do I have to do to get it in there? But if I take this, I put it in the little holder and I put it there, then I just go.
And it's sometimes in. You can hear it click.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I can just, this is way too big. And oh, I can feel it.
But the person that was asking about it, you can't expect it to be immediate. Like the girl I work with, you usually do like 6 sessions, and the closer they are together, the more benefit you get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you do like 1 a month, like a massage. Yeah,
you lose some of it between, right?
Right. Yeah. You lose a lot of that energy field that you're trying to heal.
So how close? Maybe I keep
still once it's in, because if I move, if you know, it can feel icky. That's a very small area, so I'm not going to push it very far in. But I twist, then I felt it and I feel it going down my thumb.
And it doesn't leave a mark.
No, no, no. And then, you know, people ask about the Freestyle Libre. Oh, it bled a little bit though. And that happens sometimes. People ask about the Freestyle Libre and does that hurt? Because it's a little filament that's in your arm for a long time. It's about this long. And it's tiny fraction of the thickness of this, because it's really floppy. When you pull it out, it's like this floppy. It almost looks like a thread. And that's why it needs this plunger thing to get it to go in, because it's very, very thin. And there's no way you could actually do that without having that extra force. It doesn't hurt to go in, but anyway, that's the story. And then you have to always make sure you get rid of them properly. But I would never use a needle that big on just a normal part of the body like that. I would probably do that if somebody had something in their buttocks and needed it that way. But when I was first learning this, I was doing it on weekends and practicing during the week. And my husband would have these coughing fits, right? And he would, whenever he had a cold, he was just getting over it. Oh my God, you go to bed and he'll be coughing all night. So he started coughing and I'm like, I learned a technique today for coughing. Would you like me to try it on you? And he said, yes, I did. And it was like 3 or 4 points. And I put them in. The points were in his arm and I put them in And within about 5-10 minutes, he was sound asleep and never coughed again that night. I'm like, oh. And then I had a friend who had some elbow stuff going on. And again, I was like a few months into training and I just learned different things. And he was complaining about how his elbow, and he tried everything on it. It had been going on for a long time. And so his wife said, well, why don't you let her try some acupuncture on you? And I always carried my acupuncture needles in a bag. So he said, oh yeah, sure. But what the heck, it's not going to work. So I did this stuff and it finished. And he said, am I supposed to feel anything? And I said, well, what do you feel? He goes, no, I don't feel like anything. Oh, well, you know, I didn't expect anything. And he went back outside to mow the lawn or whatever. He comes running back in like 15 minutes later. Oh my God, look at this. Look at this. I can just do everything with my arm and it doesn't hurt anymore. That's amazing, right? So, and you don't always get that, right? In energy and moving energy is a slow process sometimes, but sometimes it's just that one little thing that unblocks it enough to get that result. So I've had some good experiences with it.
Okay, I'd love to tell a quick story about that one thing.
Sure.
I had, when my son was 6 months old, I had a fall, a serious fall that caused chronic hip pain. And when he was around three, this is just to kind of tell you a timeline. When he was around three, I had gone through, I was living in Canada at the time, and I'd gone through every type of test to try to figure out why the pain was there, what it was. I'd been through everything, MRIs in the States, all of it, nuclear stuff. And it was kind of a last resort, and it was an alternative pain clinic, 10-day residential. And one of the things they did was they worked on, they used acupuncture. And one of the first sessions, there were like two or three of us usually in the room at the same time. And, you know, they had you relax and all that. And they only got to right here. There was a needle that went in right here, somewhere in my hand.
Yep.
And, and they were asking, you know, the before, why are you here? Like the intake stuff, you know, they talk to you and have a long conversation. And my thing was, I had said I was exhausted. I hadn't slept for years, it felt like. I was in chronic pain trying to deal with that, and that I was just completely exhausted. Well, he put the needle in right there, and instantly I was almost in convulsive pain. It felt like childbirth in my hand, and I'm not exaggerating this.
God.
And I'm crying, and they had people helping and stuff, and I was started crying. I said, oh, that hurts so bad, it hurts so bad, it hurts so bad. And they said, just relax, try to relax, try to relax. And I said, just, can you take it out? Can you take it out? And in the midst of the pain, and I started shaking really, really badly, and then I started getting really nauseous. They had actually taken the needle out, but the pain, it was just like it was all still there. Mm-hmm. So after there was kind of a time lapse, I felt like it went on forever, but it actually hadn't. And when we were done, you know, he said, people say they're exhausted, but not normally. They're not really usually that exhausted, but he said, you are so completely physically exhausted that any sort of introduction of a energy work like that, you just basically couldn't really handle it. And when I tried to get up, I couldn't walk by myself. And then I started getting sick. And so I was, I had this garbage can that I was carrying in case I threw up. And, you know, I'm laughing about it because then what happened is we moved into a group meeting with everybody that was at the clinic. There was about 12. And I come out of the acupuncture room. I can't walk. I have a garbage can in front of my face. And everybody's eyes are just like this. And one of the ladies, it was really funny, goes, I'm not going in that room.
I'm not going in there. My turn.
And I'd done acupuncture before, I've done it since. That was just a profound energetic experience that when you say it can just be one thing, a simple needle in my hand.
One needle, yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you have any positive benefits from that after, like with the hip pain?
Well, over the course of the time, my hip pain got better. But what was interesting about that session was I became much more, I didn't have the anxiety that I'd carried with me before. Mm-hmm. I actually slept that night.
Wow.
So it was actually acting on something other than my pain, but it allowed the pain to start healing, I think is what happened. The tension that I had that I just always carried with me, I think it did something to that. Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty
get better too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That reminds me, we talked earlier about those 2 points, like the 2 points here and then the points, the same equivalent points on the foot, you know, in the web of your foot. They call it the 4 gates. So the 4 gates is like for stress relief. And so I'll do that a lot on people when I get them on the table, even if that's not part of what they're thinking, you know, they're stressed out. I'll do whatever I need to do for them for whatever other part, but then I put the 4 gates in. And for me, whenever somebody does the 4 gates and then puts one right between my eyes, do you remember the name of that one, Kelly? It's Dan Tien, something like that. Something.
Yeah, the third Dan Tien. The third eye is right here.
Yeah, but there is a name. I think it's Dan Tien. And you put that in there and like, boom, I'm just like, it doesn't matter what else you do to me, I'm just out. So you can just do that with yourself, like with those pellets, get some of those pellets and try it. If you're stressed out, you know, you're trying to calm yourself down, try it. It could be very helpful.
And is that what that spot is? Like, I never did ask or find out what.
That is large intestine. If it's right here, it's large intestine 4. And it's a very potent pain point. It's when they have these endorphin points. And if you do them together, you get the most pain relief. The large intestine 4, and then on your, let's see if I can do this, get my leg up enough. No, you can't see it. There we go. On your calf, stomach 36, which is out here. I've got it on the wrong way, but it's out here. So if you go to your knee and just like a little bit below and a little bit out, right in there, stomach 36 combined with large intestine 4 can be phenomenal for pain. And then if you add spleen 6, spleen 5, I'm bad with numbers, but it's right here, the spleen point. And those 3 together are phenomenal. They call them endorphin points when you put them together to stimulate the pain relief. So, you know, when you're in a lot of pain for whatever reason, if anything's worth trying, right? You just try what you can, right? Works better than aspirin, in my opinion, without the side effects, you know? Anything else before we hit it? Was this helpful? Was this useful? Was this interesting? Yeah. Good. Hey, Sarah, I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. How's Joseph doing?
Well, I can say, you know, it's so slow improvement that you don't really see it, but he's getting better.
Yay. He's getting better. Is he back at work or is he back to not work?
Sticking his toe in.
He is?
Yeah, just a little bit, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very, very little, but
good.
That's good.
That's good that he's able to hold back, because I know he's like, I can't stay home. I want to.
It's not his genetics at all.
So. Right, exactly. Good, 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 good. And how are you, Simone? I haven't seen you in a while either.
I know, I'm good. I've enjoyed this session. I've been hearing more and more these days about energy medicine, and I've always used like craniosacral work, and I enjoy that, and I've tried acupuncture as well, and that's so relaxing too.
You know, I think right now we all need like global energy medicine, right? To
heal
the fear and the hostility and the anger and all that, right? If there's a way, is there a way to do that, Kelly? Like where you just do a global,
I mean, there's the power of intention, and there's a lot of research and stuff now too about people coming together even through Zoom and like doing like a focused distant kind of energy healing and intention setting, and there's some pretty cool stuff if you look up some stuff on that. So I mean, energy moves through anything. So, and it's all connected.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of studies that show the power of prayer, like people coming together to then focus on this one person and facilitate the healing. And we had that, who was it? Someone, when you went to have your surgery, Donna, we all, you told us what time and we all like put the note in the ERC group and we all just focused our attention on Donna and her healing. Yeah, we've done that a few times. And I think
I miss the singing bowls, the sound bowls from David this year at Sound.
Yeah.
And I've actually been, there's a lady here that does that as a concert, like twice a year. And just to go, and it's usually out on the waterfront because I'm on the coast. And just how that sounding and how it just feeds into each one of us. It's uniting. It really is.
It is.
And relaxing. And it just, you really feel like it takes you to a whole nother level spiritually and emotionally.
Yeah.
And I have had the tuning forks. I have a friend. Mm-hmm. I have some of the best friends. They're always like experimenting on me. She was doing reflexology. So I was her patient for numerous occasions. She would add the sounding bowl and then she bought tuning forks.
Oh, great.
Couldn't really tell. I mean, maybe because she hadn't really developed any skill with it yet, but we did all the levels and really didn't feel any different other than it was like, this is so cool. So that's an intention. Like we were deciding that it was wonderful because we wanted it to be that way.
You know, you used to mention that about, you know, because we were planning this event and it's very different planning a live versus a remote, but we could have invited David to come in and do a sound healing with there's no reason why we couldn't have done that. I'm just thinking of that now.
Yeah,
we have a bowl, but we don't know how to use it. Scott bought one from him and, you know, he kind of does this and he have a funny story about that. He has these friends who he's known since he was a little kid. And one of them two of them are medical doctors and one of them is an FDA PhD scientist. And the other does some sort of, you know, electrical engineering. So really heady left brainy kind of guys. And so they came over last year. They were going to go for this hike. It was last year, I think it was. And we're sitting in the living room and Scott has the bowl sitting on the table in the living room. And so they were like, oh, what's that? He goes, oh, and he shows them, he goes, yeah. And you do this and then you hold it over your chakras and you feel the energy. And I'm like, I can't believe he said that in front of his nerdy, skeptical, left brain friends. And they looked at him. I could just see them like, oh, okay. What's for dinner? Yeah. So anyway, well, thank you guys. Yeah, Donna.
I just wanted to say one more thing. Like long time ago, my sister and I had gone out to like the Mall of America. And we were at this one hotel and had this wonderful spa and everything, and I knew nothing really about reflexology, and I got reflexology the night before we were going to be flying.
Oh, wow.
So ill.
Oh, you were ill. I thought it would have relaxed you. No
because back then my was way 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 worse than it is now, and so, you know, releasing all that toxic mess into me back into me and everything, it was just like, oh, I was like,
oh no,
like really bad. It was not a good flight. But then when I went to Hippocrates, this guy, it really like hurt my feet because he would go in so deep, but afterwards I would feel so good.
Well, at Hippocrates, you were drinking wheatgrass juice and all kinds of good healthy stuff too.
Yeah.
So that helps to move things along. Yeah.
But it's just like, it's amazing how much it actually affects those things that they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is Hippocrates?
Hippocrates is a health center down in Florida. And they're based on the concepts of like Ann Wigmore, which is wheatgrass juice and juicing. And they've expanded now to include all these therapies too. Mm-hmm. And it's the idea of it's raw foods, it's living foods, and it's basically healing through, you know, not really fasting, but close to it, as close as you're going to get, right?
And yeah,
it's an amazing place. It really is. It's a lot of seriously ill people, like with cancer and, you know, serious ailments, go there, and it's, you know, then they can have things shift and start reversing. And it's very intense, and there's so much there, like every modality you could possibly think of that could help heal a person, they have it. And it's just amazing. It's really amazing.
Do you choose what you want to do, or do
oh
they
yeah totally together? Yeah, yeah.
They have salt.
How long were you there for, Donna?
Well, the standard amount is like 3 weeks, because it takes a few weeks for your body to, you know, first you need to kind of detox, then you start building, and then you really start improving. And like my son went even just for 1 week, he couldn't handle it. But and then I ended up going back by myself. But even for 1 week, he lost like 12 or 13 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just was too much for him to handle, though. But it's an amazing place.
So did you do the 3 week
I did
program then? Cool.
Yeah. So I did the 1 week with him, and then a month or two later. No, it was, so I went first in July, and then I went in October to November. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, you need to be like going there once a year or twice a year. I know, it's super expensive. It's like $10,000 for 3 weeks, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, if ever, you know, something was really majorly wrong, I would look at going and hanging out there for 3 weeks, because they have really good track record with all kinds of stuff, right? Yeah, and the, you know, the thing about it, like anything else, and Donna knows this for sure, is that they teach you, and you do, and you feel great, and then you have to carry it back with you.
Yeah.
And I've known a lot of people who come back, and then they slowly get back and ease back into their general.
Well, here I am.
Yeah,
and I was just thinking, I need to bring out my book again and start making that juice, because they have this one kind of green juice. And I think one of the most wonderful parts of it is they have this buffet with every sprout available. Sprouts is their main thing that they want you to eat. But then they also, like twice a day, have green juice ready for you. All you have to do is pour it into your cup.
That's the best kind of green juice.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, and you don't have to make the food, they make it. Do they teach classes to teach people how to make it when they go home? Yeah, but you get to just, you know, you just get to enjoy it, you get to be pampered.
And there's so many different things that they teach you about it. It's not just the food. I mean, there's even, you know, the things on skin brushing, or, you know what I mean, like, it's not just one thing. It really does, it's really a system where they're covering so many things that's really going to make an impact. And it is a lot of stuff to digest, you know, and be able to carry on forward, you know. So it's,
well, fortunately you'd been exposed to a lot of it before.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the person who comes in, you know, the truck driver smoking cigarettes and eating hot dogs, and comes in there for over 3 weeks because he just found out he had cancer. That would be a shocker, right?
Yeah, and he'd be saying, I'll pay $10,000 to eat sprouts.
Yeah, exactly. And have wheatgrass juice shot up my butt. Like,
it's like a year of ERC accelerated into 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And then you just go away, and that's all you do. And they'll put wheatgrass juice in every orifice you have. Oh, you have sinusitis? You're going to have it in your neti pot shooting up your nose. It goes up the bottom for the, you know, for the enemas. And yeah, it's interesting, but it's phenomenal. And I just,
in the colonics,
more centers like that, you know, we need more of that, and more doctors promoting that, and more support for people when they get back to be able to continue it.
Yeah.
You know, like a chef at home that makes you the food.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's really a matter of, how important it is. I know you have a really unique situation there with, you know, the two. Yes. And it's hard. It's hard to be living with Asperger's is a, it's hard, right? Because you're not able to communicate with these folks a normal way, it's totally not. And I know how stressful it is for you. But on the other hand, right, if we were to send you a person that was your full-time person to do all that kind of stuff, right? And then say, oh, no worries, you go lay down while I take care of making dinner for this kid, right? Yeah, that's the kind of thing you need.
Yeah, we'll never get that. Or if somebody, say, okay, now it's time for your enema, or now it's time for you to eat this. Now it's time for your juice. It's
hard to do.
Now it's time for that.
Yeah,
you go, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't have time. I'll do it tomorrow, right? Let's exercise time. Let's do the exercise class.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, all that stuff too. And it was like when we first went, it was July and that was so hot. But when I went by myself in October, it was still hot. They had like a heat wave.
Well, it's that area. It's, Southern Florida, close to Florida.
But you're trying to exercise and you're just dripping because they don't have air.
Is it right near the beach or do you have to like take a...
I'm not a beach person, so I don't. It was in like...
I like the idea of it.
Palm Springs area.
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach? West Palm Beach, yeah.
Oh, that's what I meant, Palm Beach, yeah. Yeah. I always get those two mixed up.
Well, they're very different.
I know, but I've been to both and I just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, guys, have a great evening.
Thank you.
Have a great
Thanksgiving, because I don't think I'll talk to you before Thanksgiving.
Right? Oh, that's right.
Same to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
It's my first
Thanksgiving. Marie, I sent you an email with some pictures today.
Pictures?
Oh, my news.
Good. Okay, I'll take a look at that. Yeah, so Thursday's Thanksgiving, know you have all this healthy stuff. Let me give you a link to this book. You've probably seen it before, but it's my last year. I did this book and it was called, it's called a keto friendly plant-based holiday stuff. And it has some ideas, which you've probably seen before, but seeing it in place. So I'm going to go keto. Here, plant-based keto recipes. And nope, that's not it. It was a holiday keto. Nope, it's a different one. Mm-hmm. Let me look again here. I just happened to find it yesterday. I know where I'll find it. I found it yesterday and I thought, oh, we've got to offer this to people again this year, a holiday. What's that? Yeah, plant-powered holidays. Yeah, this is it. Let me give you the link to it. There we go. Download here. Here's the link. Okay. Just got some good recipes in it. Who's going anywhere? Are you guys mostly staying home for the holiday? Yeah. My son came in. He came in on Sunday.
Very exciting.
I hadn't seen him since December 31st, so it was really nice.
Wow.
And my son that lives in Austin will be here, and it'll be the first time we've ever had Thanksgiving at home.
Wow.
Every year we've gone to Chicago for Thanksgiving with the family. And so now we get to actually just make the same dishes we made when we were there, but we don't have to deal with the other stuff. So,
yeah, that's wonderful. I bet you it's wonderful having him home.
It is. I haven't gotten to see him that much, but we stayed up. He was exhausted. He walked in the door at 9 a.m. yesterday and he'd left his house at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. the day before and said, "Hi, Mom. Good to see you. I just need to go to sleep." He went upstairs and he slept until 5 p.m. And then he hung out. We hung out together. And then it was like 10 o'clock. He goes, "I'm ready to go back to bed."
Where is he living?
What's that?
Where is he living?
He's living in Virginia, just outside of D.C. got across the bridge from DC.
Oh, so he drove all the way in?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he drove with a friend, so they kind of, they split it. They didn't stop, you know, they're not going to stop at a hotel. Like, they're, they just drive straight through. Yeah.
Does he like to cook?
Does he like to cook? Oh, yeah. He totally likes to cook. He's very good at it, too. He's always sending me pictures of his stir fries and his, oh, I learned this new thing, or I found this new recipe. So, yeah.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. He'll be here for over a month.
I love it when guys like to cook.
Both of my boys do. Like, I didn't know that my younger son was going to do that, but he's the same way. He loves to do it. So.
Yeah, my son too. Like, ever since he was even really little, he's always taking cooking classes at the Park District or Sur La Table or whatever. He's always like.
Wow. When Kevin was four, he loved tofu. He loved making stir-fried tofu. And we were out in the backyard with our neighbors, friends, and across the way. And he was in the house. We're like, wait, where'd the boys go? Like, Kevin was four and his friend is seven. And I'm like, oh, where are the boys? Let me know, where are they? So I went in the house and there's Kevin standing up on a chair by the stove making stir-fried tofu with his friend. That's the same kid that was doing the acupuncture and the muscle stim on his friends. All right, well, have a wonderful holiday.
You too.
Thank you.
Yeah, we thank, have you.
Thank you.
You know, it's because it is about having gratitude. So,
bye everybody.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.